Ownership is authority. The ownership is the ultimate authority there.
This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Own It Show. I'm Justin. And I'm Elise. That's typically what you hear, but it's just me today. So you get to have a solo shot with Justin. I know you're going to miss the voice of Elise, but she'll be back. Promise. And so today, super excited to bring forward a man that, quite frankly, has been able to integrate a very holistic lifestyle in a very successful way. And a lot of the questions that we get through email, a lot of the discussion points that come back are, how do you make it all work? How does it all fit together? What does that actually look like? Because it's not easy. It's not easy to balance the business. It's not easy to balance the marriage. It's not easy to balance the kids. It's not easy to balance the social life. It's not easy to balance the health and all of this stuff together. What does this actually end up meaning for me? And what does it look like in practicality? Because in putting it in a book or putting it in a presentation or putting it in a podcast, it's simple because it's just at that very moment. It's just like when I was studying, doing all my postgraduate work, it's easy in concept in a lab, but all of a sudden go out into the real world and you have the real world to deal with. And so I'm really excited to have Ian Pruckner on with us today. And not only was he a former pastor, but also a business owner that ultimately sold his business not too long ago and has ultimately created a lifestyle for himself and his family that allows for a quality of life for hundreds of thousands of people. And I think being able to bring him on today, share his knowledge with you, share his time, energy, and passion is going to be something that you guys can take and be extremely valuable for you. So Ian, it's a pleasure to have you on. And I thank you for spending some of your time with us and our Own It audience.
Hey, Justin, I'm super excited to be here with you guys. And I'm excited about Own It. I'm excited about what the show stands for and the idea that you're promoting, that you really can have it all. You can have it all if you do the right things, if you have the right mindset, if you set the right priorities in your life, that you can win incredibly high levels in business, but you can do that while having a great family and a great spiritual life and maintaining your health. And you really can set up a lifestyle that encompasses that sort of idea of owning it everywhere you are. So I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I love it. And just hearing other people like saying own it and living in ownership and the ownership mentality, it just warms my heart because there's a reclaiming of that word that I think is really powerful and empowering for people when so often we've seen own it as a negative. We've seen, you just got to go and own it, like be hard, like own your failures, own who you are. You made a mistake, just own it. And it's just got this negative connotation to it. And so being in an audience set like yourself, who has literally lived in ownership and has made these decisions with an ownership mentality, it only helps to encompass the mission that we're really on, that everybody has, whatever anybody wants is available to them. It's just a matter of whether they are willing to step into that ownership mentality, own who they are, own that calling that's on their life, and then ultimately realize it.
Yeah, you know, I think that's such a good point. You know, when you own something, that ownership gives you some authority over that thing, right? When you own something, it gives you some empowerment to do something about it, right? If you were renting an apartment and you wanted to change the roof, you really don't have much of a say over it, right? You could have a roofing company come out. They could give you quotes. You could love the new shingles, but at the end of the day, you don't have any authority to change that situation because you don't own it. But when you own it, you have the authority and the empowerment to change, to grow, to become, to do. And so I really do look at that word as a very positive thing. When you own it, you are powerful, right? When you own your position, when you own the good things, when you own the things that are a challenge right now, what that does is it allows you to be in a position of power to do something about where you are right now. And that's versus having that sort of, you know, renting or blaming mentality, right? When we give the blame or the ownership to somebody else for something in our life, we relinquish our control of that thing and our ability to change it to those other people. And there's so many people walking around today and they can't seem to figure out how to get where they have a vision of where they want to go, but they're not translating that vision into reality. Why? Because they've given away their power to make those changes. It was so-and-so's fault. Then we've got to wait for so-and-so to decide to make the change for us. When it's not us, when it's, you know, our upbringing or our parents or the education or the government or the politicians or my company or the comp system or my leaders or my coaches or my whatever, and it's never us, then we're at the mercy of all these other people to give us what we need in life. But we have all that we need. We've been given everything we need, right? We've been given everything we need to fulfill the mission that our life is called to.
I love it. And I know for a lot of you listeners that have been listening the last probably 6 weeks, we've brought on a lot of people who have ultimately led with their spirituality and led with this context of knowing exactly not who they are, but whose they are. And when we're able to truly know that and have a powerful ownership mentality about that, it gives us a sense of ease and peace about ourselves and connects us in a way that's very difficult to do. And I know at one point in your life, Ian, you were a pastor, and something that you really took ownership of. And I think for myself, growing up in a Christian home and my wife growing up in a Catholic home, there are certain differences that exist in terms of a real relationship with God and practicing religion. Yeah. And when you listen to this, when you listen to a lot of pastors, you listen to a lot of people just going through the motions of, hey, this is what it's all about, and this is kind of where we're going, versus the people who have been spiritual leaders in my life, like Rich Wilkerson and John Gordon and Erwin McManus. It's been a real blessing to have those people in my life to be able to rekindle and reestablish what that relationship does. And I'm curious, being in that space, being in that footprint, how did that time in your life, how did that journey in your life ultimately set you up to be in a powerful state and live in that ownership mentality in what you're doing now and how you're serving in a different way?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I did not grow up in any sort of a spiritually grounded house. My dad actually immigrated here from the Czech Republic during the Cold War when the Russians came in and annexed his city. They left, right? So they grew up in communism, which was totally godless, right? And so he brought that here with him. And so I never really had that as an upbringing. At 19, I got saved at a little storefront church with 40 people in it, right? My life totally changed. It was just like overnight, night and day difference. And I was a musician, right? So I played music all through high school. I taught music lessons. I put myself through school teaching music lessons and playing in a band. And so when I sort of had that experience, 3 weeks later, I was their worship pastor, right? Because there was only 40 people in there. And the guy who was leading was a terrible musician. So they're like, well, this guy doesn't know anything about the faith, but he's pretty good at music. So he's our new worship pastor. And that's sort of how I got started in that. And I ended up 2 years later, I was leading worship for a pretty large church, running 4 different bands and doing what I felt was going to be something I would do for the rest of my life, which was being in the full-time ministry. And in that foundational period of growth, learning that truth of whose we are, right? That we are bought with a price, that we ourselves we are a vessel of high value, infinite value almost. And so that changes how you look at everything in life. When you understand that fundamental truth, that you were purchased with a great price, it's hard to look down at yourself. It's hard to stay down. It's hard to, you understand that the battle is already won, that everything is going to work together for your good. And so, one of the things that I've learned in business is it doesn't always go the way you thought. And a lot of people get taken out by that because they're not rooted in that truth. Something bad happens and they think, well, I'm bad, or something's wrong with me, or I don't know if I'm going to recover from this. And they get down, they get discouraged, they get demoralized, and then they move on to something else. And that helped me probably more than anything get to where I am today, is just that fundamental knowledge, knowing that everything I touch ultimately is going to prosper in some way, right? That everything that I'm going through is going to work out for my good. It might not feel like it now. It might not seem like it. We might be in the middle of something and say, God, I don't know how you're going to use this, but it's not our job to know the path, right? It's our job to know the author of that path, right? And that has helped me so many times when I've been in these high pressure situations, high stakes situations, going through an exit, building a couple of pretty large businesses, you know, things don't go right. Something's behind schedule. And you just can take peace, true peace, and knowing that I'm going to be okay on the other side of this because of that relationship and the promise that comes with that relationship.
It's so unique the way you speak of that, because oftentimes when something does happen outside of our plan, I'm sure all you listeners out there, you can attest to that. It's like, this is where I was supposed to go this afternoon and my flight was canceled. And well, that's not where you were supposed to be at that moment. You weren't supposed to be there. So it's all a part of the plan in a bigger sense. And when we can relinquish that control, it allows us to fall back into something that's quite peaceful and feels like ease. And it's not easy to do. It's not easy to all of a sudden just say, hey, yep, I'm trusting. But there are certain doors that are closed. And when those doors are closed, nobody can reopen them. And if we want to, and if we force them open with our flesh, we are then forced to endure it with our flesh. And that's, I think, a really hard thing that I've had to learn a lot in my life is I've wanted a door open and I forced it open and I continued to work at it and work at it. And the door did budge open, but all of a sudden when I opened it, I was like, oh boy, I did not want that to, that is not the way that was supposed to go. And I think understanding that if we can the same thing is true the other way, is when the door does get open, nothing can close it. Not hell or high water can close that. And that's when that mindset of abundance comes in. So the answer is always yes. It's just not right now. Mm. And if we can stay in it, if we can stay true to that, if we can keep waiting and being grateful in the hallway while we're waiting for that door to open, it's going to yield a great outcome at some point.
Yeah, that's so good. I love it. You know, being grateful and faithful in the hallway, right? Doing the right things, even when the wrong things are happening, treating people good, even when people might be treating you poorly. And I love it because in the hallway, what I've learned about hallways is that they're there for three reasons. Number one is they're a test, right? There's a test you've got to pass. It's like school, right? Your final exams, junior year, you're not going to become a senior unless you pass those exams. There's some proficiency. And sometimes those hallways are a test. Like, have you learned what I need you to know to be equipped to walk into the door that you're about to go into, right? Because without that thing, you're not going to be successful. You're not going to be equipped. You're not going to be prepared. So number one, there's a test. Sometimes the hallways are lessons. There's a lesson in that hallway that we must obtain and assimilate into our life before we open that door, right? And third is sometimes hallways refine us. Sometimes there's the lesson is something that's added to us, right? Something we need that we don't yet have that we've got to obtain and take with us. Refinement really has to do with getting rid of things that are there but shouldn't be there any longer, right? And so sometimes those hallways are a refining period. There's some things we need to let go of that aren't supposed to come with us into the next level. Or in fact, that maybe we won't enter the next level as long as we're holding them. And so I love that you talked about the hallway there, right? Because the truth is, and this is a hard truth, but a lot of our life is spent in the hallway, right? In fact, in my experience, it's been a lot of hallways and a few doors. And the hallways are those periods of time when you're being tested and taught and refined, so that when that door opens, you can prosper inside of that door like you were created to.
It reminds me of a quote that Rich Wilkerson spoke to me. And he said that if God was to give us everything that we prayed for today, it would crush us. And if you think about that, it goes back to exactly what you spoke about. The hallways are for, they're tests to make sure that, hey, we're prepared and ready to handle what's going to be coming to us. There are lessons that we can ultimately learn what directions and how to ultimately sow or handle what we're being called to do. And third is it's refining us to be able to truly be prepared for what's coming so that we can, again, hold up whatever it is that's there. So it doesn't crush us. It doesn't hurt us. It doesn't leave us in a heaping mess at the end of the day saying, why did I, and I hate the saying, be careful what you wish for, because it comes back to the concept of we are going to get what it is that we were prepared to, or what we have been called for. And so when we go into that calling and we are willing to sit there and absorb it, it's I think something that's really special.
Yeah. And I, you know, talking about what Pastor Rich said to you about, you know, if God gave you everything you asked for right now, it'd crush you. One of the things that's an unpopular truth is that the struggle, the setbacks, the delays, those are the things, the very things that make us strong enough to bear the weight of leadership and influence, right? Yeah. Because a lot of people don't, it's like lottery winners, right? They win all this money and statistically within a few years, they're broke. You know, I did a TED talk the other day and I talked, in my talk, I talked about a gentleman named Andrew Jack Whitaker. And so he's probably one of the most famous examples of this. In 2002, this guy wins $314 million in the lottery, right? Which was a chunk of money, but back then it was a huge chunk of money. And so that's 2002. In 2007, he files for bankruptcy. He's lost $314 million in 5 years. I mean, that's a feat, right? I mean, that's a burn rate of $5 or $6 million a month. That's, I mean, you know, it takes a, that's like a full-time job to be able to spend that much money, right? Okay. And, but the idea was he wasn't prepared for the weight of that. And so what should have been a blessing to him actually was a burden because he did not go through that process of becoming stronger. And I think so many of us, right, it's like, don't grow weary in well-doing and we're tired because we've been in this place forever and we've dealt with this struggle. And we're like, are we ever going to break through? Are we ever going to get to the other side? And I look back at all those times. I'm like, those were the times that made me. Anybody can do the right thing when things are good. Anybody can ride high when momentum is high. But real leadership is born in those dark places that nobody sees but you when you keep doing the right thing anyways. When you keep going when everybody would have stopped. When you believe again when nobody else believes. That's when you get that strength and you get that fortitude and you get that emotional weightiness that allows you then later in life to carry the weight of influence, leadership, wealth. Those things come with responsibilities and they come with things that if you're not prepared for, will destroy you. And God's not going to destroy us. He's so good to us that he will not lead us into a place that we're not ready for yet.
It's so unique with what you just said. And I've got a book in the works and it talks a lot about this concept of bet. How God bets on us. He's already taken a bet on us and he bets on us with our blessings, our energy, and our testimony. And by being able to go through everything you just said, all of these tests, all of these lessons, all of these refinings, those are your blessings. That's truly the blessings that are being bestowed on you. We may not think about them at the time because they're hard, they suck, they're painful. They're the depths of the valleys that you speak about, but that's ultimately where the lessons, the tests, and the refinings are happening so that we can ultimately yield the influence and impact that we're going to come there at the end of the day. And those things that we're going through, we are earning a key. We're earning a key that ultimately will unlock a door for somebody else that will become their miracle that they've been waiting for, but we had to go through what we went through in order to allow that to happen. And those are the things that when we're in it, we don't quite understand and we don't quite appreciate enough until all of a sudden we look back and go, I get it.
Yeah, no, I think that's just so true. You know, it's never fun going through it, but I love what you said. Those are the blessings because those are the things we bring with us into the next level of life, right? And those are the things that nobody can take from you either, right? And that goes into owning it, right? Like people can't take something you own. People can't take something that belongs to you without your permission. And so when you go through those things, you own those experiences, you own that wisdom, you own those relationships, you own that deep self-trust, you own that faith that was built in those dark times. Nobody can take those things from you. And so they are the blessing because lo and behold, you get to this next place. How many times have you gone into this place in life and you're like, you're like brought back to this moment, this struggle, this pain that you were going through that you didn't understand in the moment. And you're like, here it is. I am now in need of the very thing I could only have gotten through the circumstance that I disdained in the moment, but has become part of my destiny in the present.
Yep.
And I think how amazing and what a testimony to the great orchestrator of our lives, right? That you can look back 12 years ago, something that seemed randomly, totally disconnected. And here you are in a room with a person that needed to hear what you went through 12 years ago. And you're like, it was for this moment. How amazing is that?
It's incredible. And I mean, I get goosebumps because I can think of 5 or 6 distinct times in my lifetime where that's actually happened, where I've had the blessing of seeing that and yielding that. And it's about to happen again, where there's a very good friend and his son is struggling with body image and the start of an eating disorder, and he's 13 years old. Mm. And for me, it was a big part of my life, a big part of my story from 13 to 16. And same time, same age, same thoughts. And now having that key to be able to unlock it and be able to have somebody to pour into and to give that. It's like things like that just happen all the time. And I think that's the uniqueness. And I think something that we often forget, though, with a story or a testimony is testimonies can be hard to share. They can be hard to lean into. They can be hard to open up to. Because as soon as we do, we have to be ready to take responsibility for the people in which we relate to them. And if we're not ready to take responsibility for those people, telling the testimony becomes more about us than it does about the people that we're serving.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, many times I've been reminded going through struggles and trials along the way, and anybody who's done anything of any sort of significance can tell you there's going to be trials and struggles. That's just part of the deal, right? But one of the things that I've been reminded of so many times is like, this struggle is not for you, it's for them.
Yeah.
Right? This is for the people on the other side that need you to come through and to be able to guide them in. And I think that that can give us a powerful perspective when we're going through that pain, is to understand that this pain is not for me. It's for somebody else coming after me. And when we look at our lives as this sort of intertwined fabric with the people around us, man, I think it just becomes so powerful that we can look at our lives with such purpose and such meaning that we don't see when it's focused on us, right? We can go through things, say, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I don't understand why I'm going through this. And what I found in those times is it's not for you. It's for them.
Yeah.
Right. And they're waiting on you, by the way. They're waiting on you to finish this job. They're waiting on you to come through the other side. Right. Your testimony from your test is only after you pass the test. Right. Like the testimony isn't like, hey, I'm in a pile of crap and I'm just going to stay here and feel bad for myself. And that's my story. Are you inspired yet? Are you fired up? You actually got to get through the other side of it.
Yeah.
And that's when you move into that leadership leverage in people's lives, you know?
It's so true. And it's such a good perspective to bring in. I think we try to get where we want to go faster than it's meant to. It goes back to what we ask, is like we're begging for something before we're ready to handle it. And all of a sudden you're saying, hey, I want to get out of this discomfort. I want to move out of this discomfort. I want to get out of this situation that I'm in. But yet there's a test, a lesson, and a refining that needs to happen in that moment so that you can ultimately use it at the end. Because if you haven't gone through it, if you haven't endured it, if you haven't stayed there, then you haven't, quite frankly, you haven't earned the right to be able to go and open that door and be that key for somebody else that is their miracle. And I will never forget what Tim Tebow said, is he goes, the moment you stop working off of your timeline and you start working on the timeline of those that you're meant to serve, you start running a little bit faster.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I've always loved is that what you talked about, it sort of earns you your right to be in that place, is that the process is the price for the prize, right? The process is what delineates the people who deserve the prize. Everybody wants the prize at the end of the rainbow, but are you willing to go through the process to get it? So it separates the wanters, right, from the workers, the people who are willing to do that. That's so, so good. When you can look at it in that way, say, you know what, this is part of my qualification process, right? And it's so interesting because you're talking about timeframes. You know, I've been so blessed to be able to lead literally hundreds of thousands of people through the last decade in a couple of different business ventures. And I've watched so many people, some people come in and they succeed super quickly, and other people, they just sort of bump along for a little while. And all of a sudden, it's like they're an overnight success. Well, what happened? Well, they finally passed the test. They finally accumulated all that they needed to open the next door, and then it showed up. But I always taught them something that I called the theory of tens, okay? And in the theory of tens, really basically what this says is that if you want to be world-class at something, you've got to be a 10 out of 10, okay? If you really want to be highly compensated, if you want to have a lot of influence, you've got to be at the top of your game, okay? And so what's interesting is that that we all start at different levels. Some of us come into the venture we're in right now and we're two. That's what life has given us. Not that it's bad, it's just that our experiences, the challenges we've had to overcome, the lessons that we've had to learn, our interpersonal skills, they weren't developed by our previous experience. And so we've got 8 points to go before we get to that place where we earn the right to be at the top of our game. And some of us come into a venture as an 8, not because we're better, but because our previous life experiences have brought us to that point, right? And so it's so interesting. You look at some people succeed really quickly. What happened? They've been doing a lot of back work for a long time somewhere else. You see people who take a little longer. Well, they're having to do the work now. Either way, as long as you do the work and you ascend that scale, eventually you'll be a 10, right? And once you're a 10, you open up. That's the key to the door that lets you into the field, right, of the world, right, where you can now go and compete for what you want in your life, right? But you got to get to that 10 first. It's so interesting you were talking about that, the speed, right? Because twos always want to be tens, like right now, right? It's like, hey, I should be a 10. Well, no, not really. Because you haven't gone through the other 8 that you're going to need.
Because right? Your key is not going to work. Your key will not turn the door.
You're going to jangle that thing in there and be frustrated. And if you manage to push it open, it's going to crush you when you get in there. You say, I didn't know it was going to be like this, right?
Exactly right. I'm curious, Ian, as you've kind of like navigated through and kind of gone through this life journey in business, how have a lot of these principles been able to then be established into the way that you ran your business, the way that you led, the way that you operated, and the way that you ultimately guided people?
What's inside of you eventually comes out, right? And so that talks about, if your leadership is not coming from a deep-rooted place of belief and authenticity and lifestyle living, I love what you said at the beginning. It's easy to write about the idea of, you know, winning in every area of your life, but it's different to live it, right? And so I wrote a book called Byproduct. Not like buying a product online, but byproduct, like what you get when you were trying to get something else, right? You're trying to create this thing and this over here was left over. And sometimes this byproduct over here is really the thing you want. Our lives are all byproducts, right? Our leadership is all byproducts of the way we think, our believing in our activity. Our results are the byproduct of that. And so I've always tried to have my leadership be a byproduct-based leadership. I want what's inside of me to come out. So if I fill up with the right things, if I'm thinking on the right things, if I'm being taught by the right things, if I have a foundation of truth in my life, then what's inside is eventually going to come out. I'm not going to need to think about it. I'm not going to need 18 strategies. I'm not going to need to read the next book to get the next key. Although reading and learning is good, ultimately it's an outcropping of what's on the inside, yeah. Right? If you believe that the people you are leading have a God-given destiny, and that you have been charged with stewarding that person, how do you not treat them in that way?
Yep.
How do you take advantage of them? How do you be disrespectful? You can't, because it's a byproduct. It's like you are somebody that God has entrusted to me, right? And that was probably the most overarching theme of the leadership that I've had the privilege of being able to walk in my life, is like, look, I've got to be good to these people, or I'm not going to get any more people. Right? God, give me more people. Are you leading the ones that you already have well? Are you loving them well? Are you being, listen, we owe people two things as leaders. We owe them an example and an environment that is conducive for them to grow into their best self, right? Those are the two things we owe them. Are we giving people those things? Are we being an example of what it means to be a leader? What it means to do what you said? What it means to make the tough choices because they're right, even when they're difficult? Are we that example? And are we creating an environment where that's encouraged, where we don't water down that culture for quick results or shortcuts or other things like that, right? And ultimately, you know, when you're living in that alignment, it just flows out of you. It really is an outflow. It's an overflow of what you've got on the inside.
So good, because when you think about it, in leadership, often we think that there establishes this pressure of, I need to provide here. I need to provide this. The two things: be an example and create an environment for others to ultimately follow in those footsteps. And I think that just breaks it down so simply. Is how often have we been there and we're looking to gain something, we're looking to get something, we're looking to attain something, whether it's building a business, whether it's getting a home, whether it's building the team, whether it's getting fit, whether it's finding the relationship. But oftentimes in the pursuit of something, we're also losing something in the meantime. We got the business, but we lost the relationship. We got the relationship, but we lost our health. We got our health, but we lost the family. Like it's not about what do you get, but it's what can you keep by continuing to operate in that powerful environment. And by showing that and by being an example of that to those people that you're leading, you will ultimately then be blessed with more people to lead, with more influence, with more opportunity, with more abundance.
Yeah, it's so good. God's not going to keep giving you people if you destroy their lives. If you allow them to walk down a path where they're winning in your business, but they're losing their family, you're not going to get a lot more chances, because that matters to God, right? Where they're winning in business, but they're losing their health, or they're winning in business and they're neglecting their spiritual well-being. You're not going to get a lot more chances. Because he cares about all those areas of our life. And he expects us as leaders to care about our people's lives in that way as well.
100%. So good. If I came back and I asked, what is your definition of ownership in a sentence or a phrase, what would you say?
My goodness, that is a good question. So ownership is authority. When you control when you own something, you control that thing's interactions. You own a house, you control whether you live in it, you rent it, how much you rent it for, whether you sell it, keep it. It gives you an authority position that you don't have any other way. No matter how much you want to have that authority, the ownership is the ultimate authority there.
I love it. Where can people find you? Where can people navigate to get more in tune with you, what you're doing, what your community is all about, and get more access to you?
Yeah, for sure. So you can find me on Instagram at Ian Pruckner. Just be careful. There's about seven people impersonating me at any given moment. I'm not going to DM you and tell you about the best investment in cryptocurrency or to send wire money over to Eastern Europe or any of those things. So if you get a message, you followed the wrong one, follow the right one. But just connect with me on Instagram. Send me a DM. I'd love to connect with you further and help you in any way that I can.
I love it. Listeners, I really encourage you to do that, because there's no shortage of people that we need in our life that are living in that ownership mentality, that are leading the way, creating the examples, creating the environments for us ultimately to thrive and realize our God-given potential, because each one of us is built to be world-class at something, but it requires us to stay in the process and ultimately earn the prize. And it takes work. It takes leading into this. It takes something outside of our plan to turn us on a tailspin, but then understand that we are just having to execute on some long-term patient endurance. And when we can stay there and we can lean into that, and we know that the answer is yes, but just not right now. And we have to stand in that hallway. We're being tested. We're creating lessons. We're refining ourselves to make sure that we can ultimately come out on the other side and handle what our calling ultimately is. And when we can do that, we know that we are going to find fulfillment in a deep way that doesn't exist in any other way. So I encourage you to lean into that. I encourage you to keep thinking about it. I encourage you to challenge yourself and challenge your current state of being, no matter what it is you're going through, because we know success is different. So own your different. And we'll see you guys next week.